today, pride and humility. This is a big one. This speaks to a lot of things that a lot of us deal with. And I want to start by just saying this morning. Your pride is costing you more than you know. Your pride is costing you more than you know. It's costing you in your relationship with Christ. So I'm doing Invisalign, and I just put a new one in like 2 days ago. And I cannot talk with them in. Huh? I haven't enjoyed it, but they're straightening my teeth, so you know. It's costing you moments like this in your sermon. It's costing you in your relationships with the very people that you love. And it's keeping you from everything that God has for you. Pride is keeping you from everything that God has for you. And the problem is most of us don't even recognize that there's pride in our life. We don't even see it within ourselves. Most of the time, pride is quieter than we think. It's quiet in our lives. It's the person who won't ask for help because they don't want anyone to know they're struggling. If I asked you to raise your hand, how many people are raising their hands to that statement this morning? It's the person who can't apologize because admitting they were wrong feels like they're losing something. It's the person who has been carrying the same sin for years because confessing it out loud would mean they are admitting that they need. It's the person who gives God Sunday morning, but keeps the rest of the week for themselves because they surrendered control. And there's that word, surrender. In a definition, this is what pride is. This is what pride is. And Solomon was dealing with it thousands of years, just like we're dealing with it today. So I will submit that this is the human nature. This is what happens. We fall. And I would encourage you this morning as we move into our Bible reading, open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. Keep your Bibles open because we have three other Proverbs that we are going to read throughout today's sermon. So make sure you keep your Bible open and your trigger fingers ready to turn those pages to find where we're going. So we start this morning in Proverbs chapter 11. That comes right after 10, but before 12. Verse 2. And it says this: when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. This right here is a warning for all of us to heed. Solomon is just simply telling us what we already know to be true. When pride, guess what? Disgrace generally follows. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. And on the other side, wisdom makes its home with the humble. Not because humility earns wisdom, but because humility is the posture that receives wisdom. Do I need to repeat that for anybody? Not because humility earns wisdom, but because humility is the posture that receives wisdom. And this here is the foundation of everything we're going to talk about this morning. It's what we're going to build everything off of. And it shows up in three very specific ways in our lives. And we're going to kind of go on a Bible journey together this morning. Maybe you don't know the Bible, you're going to leave with knowing at least three Bible stories this morning. So make sure you write it down, you follow the notes, you write down the impact statements, scriptures. That way you can leave here confident that this morning you have learned something from the Word of God. Our first point this morning is pride blocks surrender. Pride blocks surrender. And there's a story in the Bible where Jesus tells about two men who go into the temple to pray. One is a Pharisee. The other is a tax collector. Now, when we initially hear that, the Pharisees were the religious leaders. So when I hear that a Pharisee and a tax collector are going in, I'm automatically assuming that one is justified, one is not. But would you know that this story turns all of that on its head? Because what we see as we continue reading is the Pharisee stands up, imagine me coming into the church and say, excuse me, and saying, oh Lord, it's hard to be humble. That's what my grandpa used to sing, when you're perfect in every way. Imagine me coming up in front of you and basically saying, God, thank you that I'm not like everybody else. Thank you that I'm not like them. That's what the Pharisee did. He went and he says, God, thank you that I'm not like everyone else. Here are my accomplishments, Lord. I fast. I tithe. I've done everything right. In his mind, that Pharisee doesn't need anything from God. He's already good enough. And he couldn't be further from the truth. The tax collector, he comes in, and he can't even lift his eyes towards heaven. Instead, he stands there and he beats his chest and he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's it. No list of accomplishments. No, here's what I've done. Not look at this. No list. Just an honest acknowledgement of his need. Jesus says, this is where it gets turned on his head. Jesus says the tax collector went home justified before the Lord, not the Pharisee. So the Pharisee's pride made it impossible for him to surrender. The Pharisee's pride made it so he could not say, Lord, I know that you've saved me, and I know that you have so much more, and I am a terrible human being. By definition, I am terrible. It's okay if you say yes, because I am, but then I'm also going to say, aren't you as well? We all fall short of the glory of God, and I need more of his presence in my life every single day. You cannot come to God with your hands full of yourself and receive anything from him. You cannot come towards God with your hands full of everything that you are and expect to receive anything from him, because surrender, folks, requires hands that are empty. Hands that are open and unto the Lord. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Proverbs 16, verse 18. It says this: pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The Pharisee that walked out of that temple, guess what? He was the exact same person that walked into the temple. That same Pharisee that walked in is the same Pharisee that walked out. Nothing was received. Nothing was changed because pride had already closed the door to surrender. Now, you can be in the right place. You can be here this morning. You might have even taken part of one of our ministries this morning to make Sunday mornings run successfully. So you can be in the right place, you can do all the right things, and you still just might walk away empty if pride is what has brought you. So what does that mean? We go back to surrender. It's all about surrender. Our impact statement: wisdom begins where pride ends. Wisdom begins. And then I was also told this morning that I go too fast through my impact statement. So we're going to linger here for just a moment so people who are writing it down can write it down. Wisdom begins where pride ends. But do you know that pride doesn't just keep you from surrendering to Christ? It keeps you stuck in the very things that are destroying you. And I have evidence of that. Our second point is too proud to see. we are too proud to see. Here's a second Bible story that if you don't know it, you're going to know it today. Peter was one of Jesus' closest disciples. He was passionate, he was bold, he was loyal, or so we thought. The night that Jesus was arrested, Peter was so confident in his own devotion that when Jesus told him he would deny him three times, Peter pushed back and he said, "Not me, Lord. I would die for you before I deny you." And then the rooster crowed. Three times, Peter looked somebody dead in the eye and said, "I don't know that man." The most man in the room became the most cowardly in a matter of hours. And here's what's important. Peter didn't fail because he was weak. So if you just heard that Peter was weak and thank goodness I'm not Peter, so therefore I'm not weak, that's not what this has to do with. What this has to do with is he failed because he was proud. He was so convinced of his own strength and loyalty that he couldn't see his weakness coming. This is what happens to a vast majority of ministers who have moral failings. They never see it coming. They never saw it. They didn't know it was going to happen. Whatever the case may be, because of their position and their perceived loyalty, they don't look like they can fall. Here's what you should know. I am a human being. What does that mean? I'm just like you. I make mistakes just like you. So don't ever assume, and that's one thing, that once we take our eye off of how easily we can be deceived, then that's when it starts to come in. And so what happened was that pride blinded Peter to his own need. Pride blinded him that he thought he didn't need to be aware and take heed of the words of Jesus. Now, we're not just going to leave the story there because what happened after is just as important as what happened during. And the first thing that we see, when Peter heard the rooster crow, he wept. He wept. He realized what he just did. He realized that pride got in the way, had deceived him, and he did the exact thing. He just looked Jesus in the face and said, "It'll never happen. I'll die before that happens." Peter wept bitterly. He didn't hide from what he had done. And Jesus then later in Scripture seeks him out specifically and restores Peter in such a beautiful way. Three denials Peter gave him. So Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me? Then feed my sheep." Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Do you love me? And Peter says, "Lord, you know that I love you." He is prostrate before the Lord in his emotions. And he's like, "Lord, you already know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Then go feed my sheep." So Jesus restored to Peter what he had lost because of pride. So three times. And so what happened is grace right where it happened. And that's important for us to know because Jesus doesn't leave us in our failures. He doesn't leave us there to struggle and to fight and to try to figure out, how do I get out of this? No, Jesus, he comes and he meets with us and he brings his grace and he restores us. Peter didn't hide from Jesus after his failure. And I think it's important to note that Jesus did not give up on Peter because of it. He doesn't give up on you either, church. If you would, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33 this morning. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33, says, "The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. The fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Peter's humility came after his failure. And his humility after his failure is not what positioned him to that place of honor. It was not the denial even, not the weeping, but the humble posture of a man who let Jesus find him and restore him. And I just got to say that one more time, because there might be somebody in here who needs to know. It's the humble position of a man who let Jesus find him and restore him. Is there somebody in here today that has hidden from the Lord, that the Lord would seek after, and that he would restore you if you would just humble yourself, surrender yourself before him? Our impact statement on this one, and I hope this rings true with the room. I asked my wife this morning if it was good. I thought it was really good. I don't know by her reaction if it was, but we're about to find out. You ready? Pride is blind until the rooster crows. Pride is blind until the rooster crows. Peter's humility positioned him for restoration and ultimately one of the moments in the history of the church. But what happens when pride never gets dealt with? What then? What takes place? What happens when pride goes unchecked in our life? And this is the third Bible story that I'm going to introduce you to this morning. That's where King Nebuchadnezzar comes in. And that is our third point. Pride must be broken. Pride must be broken. See, King Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful man in the world. He was the king of Babylon. He had conquered many nations. He had wealth and power and influence beyond anything that any of us could imagine. And he was proud of it. One day, has anybody, I'm not saying Tim and Stacy are this way, but you guys are the ones that just built a new house, so you're just my fresh pick on. Have you ever walked through your house and just been like, wow, look what we built for ourselves? Okay, I'm not saying they're King Nebuchadnezzar, but I need you just to have that visualization in your head, okay? So he's to his palace one day, and he says, "Is not this great Babylon, which I have built for myself out of my mighty power, that it might bless my great majesty, for the glory, rather, of my great majesty?" So he is a very proud king. I built this. It is for me. It is for my edification. It is for my majesty. And while those words were still stuck in King Nebuchadnezzar's mouth, God struck him. Here's how God struck him. He lost his mind. Literally. Go read the book of Daniel and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. God struck him. He lost his mind. He ended up wandering the fields like an animal, eating grass. How many want to go outside right now and get all fours and start munching on grass? Anybody? I'll find $5 if somebody will do it. Oh, of course, my young men are the three that raise their hands. Come on. You don't know where dogs have been. That's all I'm saying. His hair was growing out like eagle's feathers. His nails were like those of bird claws. The most powerful man in the world was reduced to nothing. Not because God is cruel. And there may be some that would say, well, that's because God's cruel. No, listen. It's not because he's cruel. It's because God will not share his glory with a man who refuses to acknowledge where it came from. God does not share his glory. And then something shifted. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34 says, "At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever." the moment he looked up, instead of at himself and what he had accomplished, when he looked up and looked away from himself and to the Lord, everything was restored. His mind came back. He received his kingdom back. His honor, his reason, all of it came back to him. And then he did something that no proud king would ever do. And here's why I say that, because he's not a proud king anymore. But here's what that a proud king would never do. The entire fourth chapter of the book of Daniel is Nebuchadnezzar's own proclamation to all peoples and all nations, declaring what God had done to him. The man who once took credit for everything became the instrument that God used to spread his glory everywhere. But it required breaking first. It required breaking. See, pride isn't always loud. Sometimes it's just quietly taking ownership of what belongs to God. Saying, look what I've built. Look at what I have accomplished. Look at what I've done. We may never say it out loud, but when we start believing that our success is the result of our strength or our wisdom or our effort alone, we're standing in the exact same place that King Nebuchadnezzar stood. So my success is not my success. It is success because the Lord has granted me success. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12. It says this: before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. Before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. See, King Nebuchadnezzar had to lose everything before he could be used for anything. Now, I would argue a little bit that King Nebuchadnezzar was used by the Lord when he came to rain down destruction on Israel, to exile Israel because of all the things that they had done. But that wasn't the only purpose that Nebuchadnezzar had. The Lord wanted to lift him up and use him. And so if we are in a spot where we're like, well, the Lord isn't using me, or I can't be used, or I still have this sin, and that just keeps me at a distance from the Lord, sometimes there's a breaking that has to happen. When I think of breaking, I think back to when October 2008, I was in my apartment in Pella, just a terrible list of events that had transpired, and life was just spiraling out of control. I hit my knees on the apartment floor, and I said, Lord, I can't do it anymore without you. I need you. There is a breaking that happened in my life. And sometimes we have to be broken before we can be lifted up. And sometimes we have to lose everything before we can be used for anything. See, God is not looking for the most talented in the room. I would submit that there's probably more talented speakers than I am in here. The most impressive, he's not looking for. He's not looking for the most put together. He's looking for the most surrendered. He is looking for the most surrendered. And pride and surrender, they cannot occupy the same heart at the same time. They cannot occupy at the same time. And our impact statement, humility comes before honor every time. Humility comes before honor every time. So where do we take all of this and land this morning? We've just heard three different Bible stories about pride. Pride is costing you more than you know. Let's go back to that. Pride is costing you more than you know. I'm going to exit out of that, Zach, so you can do what you need to. costing you your surrender. It's costing you your healing. It's costing you the very things that God wants to do in and through you in your life. See, the question isn't whether pride is present. I think if we all are truthful, we all have some pride. Maybe it's a status, maybe it's a name, maybe it's a list of accomplishments. We all carry pride with us. The question is, what are you going to do with it today? Now that we have named it, we have called it out, what are we going to do with it today? If we look back to the Pharisee walked out of the sanctuary the same way that he walked in, untouched, unchanged. Nebuchadnezzar had to lose everything before he was willing to look up and acknowledge God. Peter, he denied Jesus 3 times. Because of his humility and his weeping, his sorrowfulness, Jesus sought him out and restored him. What they share is all 3 of them had a moment where pride was confronted in their life. And the only ones who came out on the other side changed were the ones who humbled themselves in surrender before the Lord. And on this Father's Day, I want to take a moment to speak specifically to the dads in the room. You know, I saw a skit this week that Mother's Day is normally about puffing up the moms and praising them and cheering them on and giving them all the kudos. And then it comes to dads and they're told to do better. Be a better dad. Work harder. Strive harder. Do this. I'm not going to do that today. Here's what I'm going to tell you. You ready? Men? Women, take notes. So you can reference them, so you remember this as well. Your family doesn't need a perfect father. Your family needs a humble father. Your family needs a father who is surrendered to Christ. Your family needs a father who leads differently than the one who is running on his own strength and his own agenda. Pride in a father looks like never admitting when you're wrong, never asking for forgiveness from your kids or your wife. It's leading your home with your own agenda instead of God's. And it means carrying the weight of leadership alone because asking for help would feel like weakness. But a humble father, a father who has dealt with his pride and surrendered to Christ, that father creates something in his home that no amount of talent, no amount of success could ever reproduce. A father who is surrendered to the Lord is a father who creates safety. He creates trust. He models what it looks like to need God. And his kids grow up knowing that strength is never about failing. It's about what you do when you do. If you go back years ago, I shared an illustration of there comes a day that we all stand before God the Father. My kids don't stand behind me because their faith is not my faith. My faith is not their faith. They are going to be beside me, each one called to account for the things that we have done. And so I need to create a place where our kids know that strength is actually more surrender unto the Lord, more seeking of his face. And dads, I want to celebrate you today. I want to celebrate every one of you, the ones who show up even when it's so hard to show up. Listen, there's times that men, we're a different creature. We like to hold things in. We sometimes don't talk about things. We carry the weight of work, the weight of our family, the weight of this, that, and the other. And there's just times when we don't want to show up. Don't be offended at me. It's true. I'm a man. I'm a dad. I can speak to it. But for the men who show up, today we're going to celebrate. For those who provide, we're going to celebrate you. For those of you who love your families and are doing your best, I need you to understand we see you and we honor you this morning. And there are those in the room who haven't had that. See, there's those in the room who grew up without a father or they grew up with a father whose pride and brokenness left marks that are still with you today. And I'll just speak to this because I believe in being vulnerable. 2 minutes ago when I started tearing up reading what a father is, I didn't have that father. I had the father that created brokenness. And I don't want to carry that to my kids. And so this morning, for those of you who didn't have a father or who had a father who created brokenness, I see you. I see every one of you. And I want you to know that your story doesn't disqualify you from experiencing what a good father looks like. God the Father is everything an earthly father was designed to be, and infinitely more. He leads with humility. He pursues with grace. He restores what pride has broke, and he never, never walks out. And the way that you can experience God as your Father is by belonging to his Son. That's the invitation in front of all of us right now this morning. One of the movements of our spiritual journey here at Engage Church is to belong to Christ. Not just attend, not just show up, but belong. And belonging requires one thing that pride refuses to give: full surrender. Stacy, if you want to make your way up. The humble person belongs. The proud person visits. Which one are you? A community that is truly engaging, our community for Jesus, has to start here. It has to start with humbled hearts. It has to start with people who have stopped trying to impress God and have started surrendering fully to him. Because you cannot bring people, remember, we're talking about 128 people. I shared that a week ago, that I believe there comes a day when there's 128 people here, because that's 10% of New Sharon population. We cannot bring people to a Jesus that you haven't fully surrendered yourself to. Humility, church, is where it all starts. And your pride is the one thing that stands between you and everything that God has for you. Today is the day to lay it down. If we would just bow our head and close our eyes this morning. Everything that we have talked about today comes down to one moment, one posture, one decision. For some of you, the reason that you've never surrendered your life to Jesus is because you don't believe. It's because pride won't let you admit that you need him. You know the truth, you've heard it, you've been in the church, but something is keeping you from taking that step. And if we're being honest, that something, let's call it out, is pride. But look back to the tax collector. He couldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. He just said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." No accomplishments, no list, no look at what I've done. Just an honest acknowledgement of his need of Jesus. And Jesus said he went home justified, church. That right there, that is salvation. Not earning it, not deserving it, just coming to God with empty hands and saying, "I need you." And today the Holy Spirit might be speaking to you. He might be calling you to Jesus. And pride is the only thing standing between you and everything that God has for you. Again, with every head bowed and every eye closed. This morning, if you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, and today is the day that that is the desire of your heart, would you raise your hand right now where you sit this morning? Is there anybody in the room? Praise the Lord. And as we get ready to close this morning, this is for everybody, just the same as it just was. I believe that the Holy Spirit has been present. The Holy Spirit has maybe been speaking to you today.
And I believe some of you know exactly what he's saying and what he has said to you throughout this message. Maybe it's an area of your life that you've been holding on to. Maybe it's a relationship where pride has been doing the damage. Maybe it's your role as a father or a husband or a son where you know surrender is required, but pride has been in the way. Or maybe it's just simply this. You want more of God and less of yourself. You want to walk in the freedom that humility opens up in our lives. You want to stop letting pride cost you what God has for you. That's a desire worth responding to this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you a question this morning, church. Is it the desire of your heart this morning to surrender more fully to Christ? Is it your desire this morning to humble yourself before Him and say, God, I want more of you and less of me? If either of those speak to the desire of your heart right now, right where you're at, would you please raise your hand right where you sit? Come on. Come on. All around the room. All around the room. I'm going to pray for every one of you. This is the altar call. I'm going to invite you to come up while the worship team worships and just spend time at the altar. But this is the response. And if you had your hand raised, I'm going to ask you just to keep it up as we pray. We're just going to pray that the Lord would receive and that surrender would come. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray over my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I pray for each of them that have humbly said this morning, Lord, I desire to surrender more fully to you. I want more of you in my life, Lord. I desire more of your presence. That I would say, Lord, all my days, all my life, it is yours. Lord Jesus, I pray clear across this room this morning. Lord, I pray for a blessing first off on every person that was bold enough to raise their hand to say, that's me. I want more of Jesus. And Lord, you know every situation. You know every story. You know everything that every one of these people carry with them. Lord, I pray that you would help them walk through what that surrender looks like. Lord, that you would help us to deal with the pride that is in our lives and bring us to a point that we can point others back to you. Help us deal with our pride. I don't want to sacrifice everything, or I don't want to sacrifice everything to not be used. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but Lord, you know what I'm trying to say. I don't want to give up everything you have for me because I'm too prideful to say I need help. So Lord Jesus, you know the heart of every person who raised their hands. Holy Spirit, would you have your way and would you help each and every one of us gain victory? And Lord, may we draw closer and closer and closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, let's stand to our feet as we sing. I want to encourage you, the altars are open this morning. Come spend some time in prayer. And dads, please make sure as you leave this morning, you grab your four-pack of Dad's Root Beer. God bless you.